Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio today. Taking your calls, here's the number, 206-421-5757, if you would like to get into the call queue. All right, we are headed to Gig Harbor now. We have Bob on the line. Welcome, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi there, Bob.
Address
when I scan it, though.
Right here. Just go take the next deal right down.
There we go. Somebody's driving. Good morning.
Yes. Hello.
Oh, can you follow me?
Hi there, Bob.
Yeah, you're on the air, Bob.
Yes.
We're all hearing about your directions. Wonder where you're going.
Oh, okay.
And good on you for asking for directions.
I ran into a FedEx driver here. Hey, I got a question, Jerry. Some time ago, we talked about checking rapamycin in your blood, and neither you nor I could ever, no matter what we did, get anything to register when we had LabCorp test our blood after taking rapamycin. Right. I'm wondering if you've ever resolved that issue.
No, I haven't.
Okay.
You know, I'm still going by the clinical impact. You know, I can tell the days that I take my rapamycin in the week, and it's a rather dramatic effect, so I don't worry about it.
Okay, are you taking more than 6 milligrams then weekly?
Yes.
Okay.
Samira doesn't want me to tell you how much.
That's right. Samira does not want you to tell how much.
Dr. Samira is his doctor, and
and everybody's different.
Yes, yeah. She's my doctor. She writes the prescriptions. And I take what I damn well please.
I get it.
But then I sign my doctor's paycheck. So, you know, that's how it works out.
Okay.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily.
But then, you know, the advantage of that is that if something goes wrong, he's got himself to blame and not me.
That's right. Yes.
That's right.
You know, and as I've always said, when, you know, people say, well, why won't you give me what you take?
Yeah.
And my answer is simple. You know, if I do something stupid and hurt me, I won't sue me.
Yeah.
You know, if I do something stupid and hurt you, it's a different issue.
Yeah.
So I take more risks with myself than I will take with my patients.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
All right, Bob. Thank you for that. Oh, I love it. Okay. Now we are headed to Tacoma. We have Bill on the line. Hi there, Bill. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Bill.
I'm reading an interesting book here. It's called Longevity Fitness Plan, book number 3, Healthy Eating Plan.
Okay.
And on page 27, there's a list of foods that we should keep in the house and a list of foods that we should toss or not keep.
Mm-hmm.
The foods that we should keep, just a few that's here that's interesting, is flank steak and top round steak and coconut milk. But on the discard list, we have filet mignon and oat bran milk. I'm wondering why is this oat bran soy milk discard and filet mignon discard? My wife likes filet mignon. I like round steak.
Wow, now I want a steak. Okay. What's up with that?
Well, the answer is the amount of fat. Filet mignon is extremely fatty. It's
so
marbled with
tasty.
This fat.
So
that's what makes it so tender and so delicious is all that fat. But when you char that fat, you are producing carcinogens that your colon just does not like. Okay, and it raises your risk of colon cancer significantly, and it kicks a lot of inflammation into your system. So that's why the fatty cuts.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take the lean stuff, that's healthier for you. Even then, you know, most meat, most red meat, should be used in very modest quantities.
Yeah.
you know, one of the things I learned many, many decades ago is with a Chinese wife to use meat as a flavoring rather than the major part of the meal. Meat can be sliced very, very, very thin, and so that it's incredibly tender, even though it's not fatty at all. And then it adds a lot of flavor to the foods, but you don't actually get a lot of meat in the food. I made the mistake of taking my wife to a steakhouse to propose.
Oh, okay.
Oopsie.
And she accepted, despite the fact that she told me later that she considers eating a great big hunk of meat to be the most barbaric thing she's can conceive of.
Okay.
Yet she still said yes.
She said yes.
Yeah. You know,
she wanted me, but not the steak. But yeah, you know, meat is very high protein. And as we age, we are less and less good at digesting proteins.
Yeah.
So we actually need more of it in our diet. And yet at the same time, it is pro-inflammatory and is tough on our colons.
Right.
And so the idea is to keep your meats quite lean, shave them very, very thin, use them as flavorings for your meal, not as a great big hunk of animal flesh to consume raw.
Also on the toss list is potatoes, and potatoes either steamed or baked a really high item in our family.
Yeah.
What's wrong with potatoes?
I don't mind the potato per se, but I personally find that a potato without the sour cream and the bacon
and the frying and
yes,
the cheese and the chives
and all the stuff I have to layer on it to be pretty much like eating, I don't know, the pages of that book.
Oh, on the keep it list is olive oil, extra virgin, and that's very good on a steamed or baked potato.
Well, and that's fine then, yeah. And actually the potato skin and potatoes are quite high fiber. So, you know, if you're eating the potato and staying away from all the condiments and the high fat stuff you're putting on the potato, it's really not bad.
I feel better.
Yeah, good.
Now, see, you were talking about a book, and here I thought you were going to go for my later book that you can get on. I'm going to do a shameless plug here.
Yeah, you can.
We call it's called Lifelong.
I'll do a Vanna while you're describing
it. It's a ship that he's on radio, he can't see you.
Oh, that's
but
right.
The name of the book is Lifelong. It shows me kicking father time, kicking the clock. And it's stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier at any age. And you can buy it on Amazon. You can get the hardback, the softback, or the Kindle version. And just read it on your devices. So.
Or you can come to the clinic and we'll give you one.
Yeah.
That's right. Anyway.
Well, next week then, will the radio show be off the air when you're live streaming?
No. We're going to do it. It's a simulcast. We're going to be doing the radio, but we are also going to be on video, live streamed on our YouTube channel.
Yes. And you should be able to get to that by just going to our website.
Yeah. So you can watch us live, or you can listen to us, or you can do both.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you very much for the information.
You're welcome, Sam.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Bye-bye.
All right. A couple minutes before our next break, let's go ahead and at least get our next question from Kay, who is calling from Seattle. Hi, Kay.
Hello, Kay.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. The reason I'm calling is, well, for me, however, my brother in Minnesota came down with some kidney issues, and he was on dialysis for a while. So I'm looking at my blood test, and my creatinine is low. It should be from 0.57 to 1.00, and it's at 0.33. And the BUN / CRE, which I'm assuming is creatinine, the normal range is supposed to be 12 to 28, and mine is high at 33.
Well, it'll be high because your creatinine is low.
Is low, that's right.
Okay, and the regular BUN, or the normal, is 11, and it should be between 8 and 27.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
and it's at 11, so that's okay. But my doctor, I see that she had said something about the creatinine is probably low due to low protein intake.
Mm-hmm. That's probably true.
So I'm wondering if what you think about that. I mean, is do I have to worry that I'm going to have to go on dialysis like my brother?
No.
Or is
No. If your creatinine was high, then we worry about dialysis and kidney dysfunction. But your kidney studies, from what I'm hearing, sound quite good for your age. So I would not get excited about it at all.
Oh, okay, because they've always said not to worry, but it's like since my brother, and he's just a year older than I am, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, but no, if your creatinine is low, it's just mostly because you're not eating much in the way of proteins.
Well, she probably also has low muscle mass, so we don't know her weight or her BMI or her size, so it could be related to just your size.
So what do you think about adding more? I mean, because you were just saying that protein, you know, that steak, red meat and everything wasn't good. What do you think about adding more protein, and what kind would you suggest?
Well, most older people do not digest proteins as efficiently as they did when they were young. So we need a higher protein load than young people do, just because we don't digest it as efficiently.
Mm.
We don't have as much acid in our stomach, and so we don't, you know, rip up that protein in that high hydrochloric acid environment of our stomach. Our pancreas doesn't kick out the proteases as efficiently, so we don't have enzymes to break down the proteins to the amino acids to absorb.
Mm.
And so older people as a group have to have more protein in their diet than young people.
As long as they don't have kidney problems.
As long as they don't have kidney problems. Now, your kidneys, on the other hand, don't tolerate high protein loads.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you have a high creatinine, we get very concerned.
Yes.
So it's individualized. That's why doctors run these tests, and they sit down with you and tell you what to worry about and what not to worry about.
Right.
Because it's complex.
Yes.
And it's far too complex for me to give a tutorial on the radio.
Yeah.
About how much protein any individual should be eating.
Right. And you know, when I have to sign off on charts now in the labs, I'm asked, is it normal, abnormal, or unremarkable? And sometimes I have to think, okay, is this unremarkable or is this abnormal?
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right. Does that help you with your answers? Hey.
Well, I'm wondering what kind of protein you would suggest to increase it.
Let's talk about that after
the break. We'll talk about it right after the break. We have to go away. We'll be right back.
Yes.
Lose our minds.
Yes,
we don't want to lose our our minds.
We do. We do.
No, no. Heard it through the grapevine. I always think of the dancing raisins, Dr. Mixon.
So do I.
Yes. Okay, so we're talking with Kay and wanting to know what are the good proteins that we should
be doing.
Basically,
plant-based proteins are easier to digest and they have less carcinogens associated with them. So, you know, beans, peas, those sorts of things are fine. Tofu, if you like tofu.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in Chinese household, we get a lot of it.
Sure.
And and we try to keep our meats to chicken more than anything else, chicken and fish.
Mm-hmm.
Very little in the way of red meat.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get an awful lot of protein in without having great big slabs of steak in your life.
Yeah. And you can drink protein drinks, too.
Well, and the pre-hydrolyzed free amino acids are extremely easy to digest.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Those are the good ones. Any other questions about proteins, Kay?
Just one more question. I think that she had mentioned it could have something to do with muscle mass. Is that what I heard?
Yes.
So if your muscle mass is low.
Yeah, creatinine is a measure. Whenever we're breaking down and replacing muscle proteins, we release creatinine. And the creatinine levels in very, very skinny, low muscle mass people, they tend to not have much creatinine because they don't have much muscle that they're turning over.
That's right.
So, of course, as we get older, we lose muscle mass anyway.
Correct.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, so low creatinine in little old ladies is not a major concern for us.
Okay, and what is the ratio? How do you figure the ratio between the two?
The BUN and creatinine? Well, it's just a math thing. If the BUN is normal but the creatinine is low, then just because
the
of
ratio will be high.
Yeah, it's a division.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I really
appreciate it. You're welcome. All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for the call, Kay. We have room for you and your questions for the doctors, whether it's on aging, their specialty, or if it's something about a recent diagnosis of you or a loved one. Maybe you have some symptoms. You're not sure what's going on. Give us a call. We would love to talk with you at 206-421-5757. We are headed to Sultan and Michael on the line with a question for the doctors. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We hear you just fine.
Oh, great. I'm a long ways away. I don't always have a good connection. I have a long history of atrial fibrillation, and I've had like 6 cardio conversions and all. And of late, it seems like it's ventricular tachycardia.
Okay.
And I have a pacemaker. It's really just, I originally got it because they had me on a medication that you mentioned earlier that was just to keep my pulse at 60. And then that
beta blocker, probably metoprolol.
I can't remember the name of it right now.
Okay.
Wasn't that one? That wore out, so they gave me another one, and the new pacemaker, when that battery died, has a cell connection to the doctor, which is really good.
Mm-hmm.
So one day recently, on a Monday morning, I got a call from the doctor, and they told me to go to the ER, and I asked them why, because I didn't feel anything. And they said the evening before I had a case of ventricular tachycardia that was serious.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I got the information that if it lasts longer than 30 seconds, that it's serious. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, longer is always worse.
Yeah.
Mine was tachycardia.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Mine was 90 seconds.
All right, that's a long time, a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I went to the ER. They sent me to the UW hospital, and they were wonderful. I'd never been there before. There were five doctors there, the electrophysiologist and everybody pouring over me, giving me all these tests. And they ended up increasing my verapamil and putting me on Crestor and Xarelto and all, and sending me home. Well, they basically had said that, you know, my heart could just, at that 90-second or more, my heart could just quit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Well, I wouldn't say quit, but it's not pumping blood efficiently, yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been for 90 seconds, and now if the rhythm goes higher, then you're not going to get blood perfusing through the major organs of the body, like your brain and your heart.
So... yes. If I was somewhere all by myself, I'd have a high chance of just dying.
Yes, yes, that's probably true. Which is, of course, why these, you know, new pacemakers that actually report directly to the doctor are really kind of nice. The medical clinic sees your problems even before you're aware of them.
Right. And so what they want to do then is put you on the medications that if that were to happen to you again, then the medications would control the ventricular rate. So now your rate is already controlled, and they controlled it a little bit better with the new drugs.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, if they do work. I mean, I was on... Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So, here's the good news. Okay?
Yeah.
If you're like many of us,
mm-hmm.
I'm a lot less concerned about dying than I am being really sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ventricular fibrillation, or ventricular tachycardia, well, or VFib, which is the extreme version.
Yeah.
You know, basically, your heart stops pumping blood, and you faint, lose consciousness, and you're gone.
Right. It's pumping inefficiently and very fast, so blood just can't get anywhere.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, since we're all going to leave this world, you know, that is one of the best ways I can think of to do it.
Depends on how old you are, Uncle Jerry.
Well, yes, but at any rate, I would rather do that than, you know, be wasting away with my widespread cancer and an intractable pain all the time.
Mm.
For, you know, months and years of the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, please, let me fade off.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well,
I mean,
now, my other thought is that my pacemaker battery expires in 2 years, and could they give me a pacemaker, what do they call it, defibrillator pacemaker? Would
they can.
Solve the problem?
Well, it certainly might, Again, it depends on what the electrophysiologist says your risk factors are. But yes, they do now make combined devices that will both defibrillate and pace you. So they if it picks up that you've got a potentially lethal rhythm, it goes ahead and fires and and basically does a defibrillation job from inside your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was figuring if I last a couple more years, then they might decide that would be the way to go.
Why not? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're having a good time and life is worthwhile.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty healthy for 79. So,
sure.
And we're very much thinking of getting in on your program. I have one more question.
Sure.
Since 2019, I have had chronic headaches, and my neurologist is not, they don't know why.
Mm.
And it seems like this last summer, they've just gotten worse. What I've been on is topiramate and venlafaxine.
Mm-hmm.
I also take... it's a magnesium 3 and 8.
Okay.
So what do you think about that? And I'm just thinking that maybe these are wearing out. I'm going to be
perhaps,
seeing her.
Maybe you need dosage adjustments. But, you know, that's in the purview of the neurologist. The magnesium is a muscle relaxer, tends to lower blood pressure, tends to make muscles not spasm, which, you know, can help with a lot of tension headaches.
Right.
But the others are more migraine sort of oriented, and that's, you know, that's a whole specialty that we defer to the neurologist.
Yeah.
Is that helpful for you, Michael?
Yeah. But when they get up to an eight or so, I can take Tramadol.
Okay.
Is that very addictive?
No, not when you're using it like this. It's not. And again, people that take it consistently, dose after dose, day after day, then I worry more about addiction. If you use it episodically for a severe headache, I don't worry about it.
All right.
Okay. All right. Take care, sir.
Thank you for the call, Michael.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
We're going to break, but we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. You stay right there. We're not done yet. We will be talking with Charlie and also with Patty in just a moment. And still time for you to get in with your phone call. 206-421-5757. And we'll be right back.
I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up vibrations.
I'm not sure what the doctors are laughing at, but they're
I was just telling her that I love it when my wife gives me the excitations.
Oh, boy. Oh, we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine, and good morning to you. Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, and we've got some more calls. We're headed to Buckley now, and Charlie with a question for the doctors. Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my call. And this is a little note to Dr. Sumat. This is the guy who's thinking about putting pneumonia in his eyes for mites.
In his eyes for mice?
Mites.
Mites.
Oh, mites.
Oh, we had a question last week with Dr. Michael Gilbert about mites in the eyes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. It was... go ahead.
Well... I get that word mixed up, ammonia or pneumonia.
Ammonia. So, okay. Yeah, it's not pneumonia in the eye. It's ammonia in the eye for the mites.
Wow.
Sounds like I missed
the
an interesting show.
Aluminum. No.
Go ahead.
I have a problem with aluminum, the other word, too. The other,
aluminum.
Yes.
I have a problem with.
Oh, Charlie, you're not alone. I think we all have a word. For me, it's entrepreneurial, and I can never say it right.
Entrepreneurial.
Entrepreneurial. That one. And I mess it up. And camelion, that's my other one.
All right.
A little critter that changes color, the little camelion.
Chameleon. Yeah.
My tongue does
chameleon.
Weird.
Chameleon. Yeah, I know who that chameleon is in the politicians.
Oh, yes.
Whole lot of them.
Woo-hoo.
Well, you need to hear to vote for me. I'm the chameleon.
My main question is for Dr. Mixon, I believe, and maybe Dr. Sumat, too. When it comes to my wife's seeing a neurologist. Now, is there a specific, or should she actually do a extensive blood test for my wife, you think?
Depends
on the problem.
Why she's going. Yeah.
Why is she going to the neurologist? Is this for headaches? Is this a paresthesia?
No. It's like for forgetfulness. She's got her on memantine, and she's actually prescribed, she ended up having a brain MRI, But then she wants her to have a sleep study, and she don't want to do that. She had one years ago. The thing is, when it comes to, you mentioned levothyroxine, think for your, is that for your adrenal gland or your pituitary gland?
Levothyroxine is for, it's your thyroid. It's a hormone produced by the thyroid.
Well, the thing is, then you mentioned earlier in the show that it could actually cause maybe forgetfulness besides tiredness.
If it's too low, yes.
Hypothyroidism can.
Yes, hypothyroidism can cause confusion, fatigue, memory problems. Yes.
Sure. That's why I'm asking if the neurologist would maybe have a specific blood test to see if these levels were right with her.
Well, I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know the neurologist or their protocols, but, you know, I would think that if somebody comes in with memory issues, you'd be looking at all of the common things that can cause memory issues, and among those would be hypothyroidism.
But, you know, with the EMR set up the way it is right now, if a physician of a different specialty is in the same EMR system, they can look at labs that were done by somebody else.
Yes.
So they may not necessarily have ordered them if they have been done recently.
That's true. Yeah.
I see. I'm sure she's done that, you know. The thing is, of course, her primary says, oh, your thyroid's just fine, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know how that goes.
Yes,
and it's also, yes, you're it's normal because you're such and such age.
That's right.
You know, yep. Right. So
you and Methuselah.
I thank you guys very much. And enjoy the rest of your guys' day. Thank you.
Well, thank you, thank sir. You. I hope to.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Charlie. All right, we've got more callers, and you can get your call in, too. We have room for a couple more, 206-421-5757. We're headed to Maple Valley, and Patty on the line. Hi, Patty.
Hello, Patty.
Hi. You guys are great. The only problem is I take notes during the whole show, you know, and I have little sticky notes, and then I put them into my medical notes, and I have all these sticky notes with all this information you get. It's great. I just learned so much. So I just have a quick question. I was at one of those places where you buy bulk, and somebody had this big bag of nutritional yeast, and I'm like, nutritional yeast? I've never heard of it. So I was talking to him, and I'm like, okay, I'll buy a little bit of this stuff. And I'm like, so what do I do with it? Is it good for me? Is it bad for me? And how do I use it?
I've never used nutritional yeast.
Me neither.
Well, you're no help.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're no help.
Yeah, that's a great way to hurt a doctor's feelings.
Aww.
You're no help.
I have sticky notes all over because you help. But I just, I never heard of nutritional yeast. And I'm like, I don't know.
Well, you know, yeasts grow all sorts of stuff. And you can use yeast to grow specific proteins and so on, but I just don't know what they have in mind when they're talking about nutritional yeast.
Because I went online, and I think vegans use it a lot.
Well, the only place where I've used yeast is with dough, if you want to,
you want the bread to be
right. Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
that's what I'm doing right.
Bread? Okay, now
perfect
I'm hungry
day for it. Yes.
But and during COVID, you know, everybody was making sourdough bread from scratch,
yes,
and every home had a starter going, and
yes,
everybody was showing pictures of their starters.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I know of for yeast. I've never recommended somebody use it as a supplement. Although it probably does have some nutritional value, maybe vitamin B, fiber definitely, and as you mentioned, some protein.
Yeah. You know, well, and it's frequently used to ferment foods and so on. So, but
I know the guy I talked to that was filling this bag, he said he put it on popcorn, and I'm like, really?
I have
no idea. So I thought maybe
Okay. I do like popcorn, but that's a whole different issue.
Me too. Me too.
Thank you for the call, ma'am.
Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you for your question.
Yes. We're going to stay right here in Maple Valley and take another question. But we're first going to go to break. Let's take a break. Then we'll be back with Marie. And we're going to talk about something, Dr. Mixon, that you know all about. And Sandra will be talking with her as well. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We will be back with more for you and some information on our next gallery test, which is coming up September 14th. So if you'd like to join us for that, grab your pen and paper. We will have the details for you in just a bit. Stay right there. Medicine for you. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. UMAT. And we do have a message for Charlie. Charlie, who called just a few minutes ago and was wanting to put ammonia in his eyes for the eye mites. Dr. Michael, who was on the show last week, called and said, oh my, never ammonia near your eyes. So please do not administer that. If you think you've got mites, get that checked out with an eye doctor. And then they have a specific treatment that they will give you a prescription for. So there you go, Charlie. No ammonia in your eyes and definitely no pneumonia. You don't want either one of those near your eyes. So hopefully that is helpful for you. All right. We are headed to Maple Falls. We're going to stay there. Marie is on the line. Marie, good morning.
Hello, Marie.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Oh, thank you. I had a question, and then another one came up with the discussion on levothyroxine. I take 25 mcgs a day, and I've taken it for years. Mm-hmm. Did you say one of the side effects was either fatigue or concentration or memory?
The low levothyroxine, if you don't have enough.
Low T4.
Yes.
Okay.
So your thyroid, okay, so not the medication,
no,
correct,
not.
Right?
That's right.
Okay, so taking the 25 mcgs isn't going to cause
25 micrograms is a very, very low dose to
very
start
tiny.
With.
Yeah.
Right, and it will help with memory. If you don't have enough T4, then you can have memory issues.
Right.
Okay, thank you. All right. My initial question is, I called a couple months ago, and Dr. Mixon had talked about think factor coming on. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know what the difference is between optimal memory and think factor. And if you can give an ETA of maybe when it would be available. And I can take my answer. I can listen to the radio off air.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Very different.
Thank you for the call.
Yes, thank you, Marie.
Yeah, the think factor is, how to put this, back when Dr. Bredesen put out his paper back in 2014 or so, we looked at the supplements he used in his patients and basically recreated that as our memory factor. It was our memory supplement for people. I've never been really satisfied or happy with it because there's so much stuff there.
Too many pills.
It's enormous number of pills.
Yeah.
And he was kind of throwing the whole kitchen sink at folks. And so, but rather than leave something important out, we went ahead and just did everything that he did. And I don't like it in that it costs a lot of money because there's a whole lot of stuff there. And you're taking an enormous number of pills.
The difficulty was people have a hard time taking that many pills and swallowing them.
And spending that much money on it every month, too. Yeah. So the question is, what can we narrow it down to?
Yeah.
And so the think factor is actually something that I've just put together within this past year. And it's on a whole host of published papers. And it has two components. One is, the first component is called citicoline. And the citicoline is rapidly converted in your body to a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. Acetylcholine is the primary neurotransmitter that lets one brain cell connect to the next. And as we age, we make less and less acetylcholine. So taking acetylcholine tends to make our brains function much faster mm-hmm. and more efficiently and helps several different aspects of memory. Mm-hmm. And so when you go on the acetylcholine, you'll probably notice an improvement within a matter of weeks. And what we tell people is we want you to give it 3 months, and then you take your cognitive test before you start it. You take it again in about 3 months, and you'll be able to see how much the acetylcholine is helping or not helping. Mm-hmm. Then there's a second component, which is made up of two subcomponents, zeaxanthin and lutein. And these are compounds that are normally used for vision to try and improve the health of your eye pigment. But it turns out it also helps the membrane in your nerve cells in your brain. Mm-hmm. to function far more efficiently and to carry messages more efficiently. That one takes about 6 months to get working well, though. So in a three-month test, you won't see that second component. You only see the acetylcholine component. The second component takes 6 months to a year to really kick in and get maximum effect. Mm. So I put two things together, one to start work fairly fast, the other that works more slowly. And we are hoping that people will actually take a cognitive test before they start it, one at 3 months, and then one at 6 months or a year. And that way we can see which components are working or are both components helping you. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's actually helping you as an individual, you should stay on it forever. So these are based on peer-reviewed studies that are much newer than Dr. Bredesen's. But Dr. Bredesen's study was aiming for dementia. Mm-hmm. And this is a product which is designed for normal people to make them function better than right. they already do. Mm-hmm. One of the fascinating studies that I saw as I was putting this together was on the acetylcholine. This was even tried on 21 and 22-year-old medical students.
Okay.
And, you know, medical students tend to be smarter than the average bear to start with, and they were young to boot. Mm-hmm. And it even made their brain function faster and more accurately. Mm. So this is actually a combination that I'm hoping to have available for everybody
yeah.
from about 18 to 98.
Nice.
And so, you know, I will be on it. Yeah. I suspect all my staff will be. Mm-hmm. The question is the ETA.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, the problem has been getting the packaging approved.
Oh.
Okay. We have to go through so many different federal agencies to get everything. And it turns out that because we're having the little containers custom made for us, mm. they have to go through all kinds of testing to prove that the containers are safe to hold the supplement for a long period of time
oh.
without imparting some sorts of toxins or poisons to the pill.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah. So what I'm waiting for now is the final approvals, and I'm hoping we'll get those final approvals in within the next month, and then within about 60 days after that, we should have it on the shelves.
Oh, very good.
Nice. So I'm just waiting for the government to tell me it's okay.
Wow. That's kind of scary. Yeah. The government. Only yep. used with a mask.
The most frightening words in the English language, you know, I'm from the government. I'm yes. here to help you.
Here to help you. Wow. Okay.
Please stay in your own lane.
Yes. Oh, Marie, I hope that was helpful for you. So hopefully by the end of the year, we will see some Think Factor on the shelf. Mm-hmm. All right, time for one last quick question headed to Bellevue. Sandra is waiting. Good morning, almost afternoon, Sandra.
Hello, Sandra.
Yeah, good morning. My question is, I've had a problem with high cholesterol for, seems like forever, mm-hmm. and I couldn't tolerate statins. Mm-hmm. So they decided that perhaps I should try Priluent?
Or the yes. injection. The PCSK9 yeah. inhibitors, right.
Yes. Right. And my insurance wouldn't okay that, but they did okay the Repatha. But okay. then I started reading about all the side effects. And I know with yeah. medications, there's always a long list. But uh-huh. I just wanted your opinion. I haven't done the first injection as of yet.
Mm. Okay. Have you had a heart attack?
No, I have not.
Okay, that's good news. All right. There's two different approaches with your lipids to try to lower your risk of heart attacks and strokes. One is to lower the amount of cholesterol that's available to be damaged. And the other is to be very aggressive at preventing damage to the cholesterol. Cholesterol itself is not dangerous, and it is not a bad thing. In fact, it is the mother hormone. We use it for making all of the steroid hormones in our body. So it's quite useful. But some forms of cholesterol are quite fragile and are easily damaged. And once they're damaged, your body sees them as a foreign material. Mm-hmm. Tries to lay them down and get them out of the bloodstream, which is why they get laid down on the wall of the arteries and form these plaques that can put you at risk.
Right.
And so what we tend to do is to take a closer look at what kinds of cholesterols you've got. We fractionate it. We'll do, you know, things like the Cambridge Heart Studies.
Cleveland.
The Cleveland Heart Studies. And we will look at very carefully the size of the particles, the types of the particles, and can give you a whole lot better idea of whether or not you need to be doing something special. And we periodically offer that to non-patients, too.
Yes, periodically.
We did several months ago.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. The newer drugs have lots and lots of side effects. And I don't use them much.
Yeah, heart disease has a lot of side effects too, Jerry.
I understand. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So we prefer to do a more thorough evaluation of your lipids.
For sure.
Very good. And our time is up. Sandra, if you need more information, you'll need to call back our show next week. And yes, we will be here Labor Day weekend live in the studio with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umep. I'm Lynette, and an important day to get on your calendar is September 14th for the gallery test. Call us and make that appointment.